let's start anyway. So we began last time discussing the Gemara here in the beginning of Sachta, the Beis Amud Aleph and Beis Amud Beis. So let's continue with that and fill in some of the issues. There are really two overlapping or three overlapping topics here. One, of course, is the broader notion of Kinyan, and more specifically how that figures into the Haba Mina of Bal Korcha, as opposed to the requirement of Ratza. Okay, so let's go back to all of that. So let's have somebody just read again quickly the Shakamataria. Go ahead, Arya, go ahead. You don't mind.
Starting from the Gemara?
Yeah, just the very beginning, and then, you know, the Bal Korcha part, just again to get it back.
So why is it differentiated between the beginning of this part and the second part? For one says ish ishnik, and someone says ish haish mekadesh. Between the kabbalah and the misni kasef, kasef mina alon gomar ki chizim istayafor. Ksev hasa ki kach ish ish ishav. Ksev hasa the nasasi kasef sada kach kinyan.
Yeah.
The kicha akra ikri kinyan. Ksev hasada shev tanaafor.
Right, now means,
or you can say, so those kasef ikinyan.
Okay. Therefore, Tana Ha'isha Niknes, period. Okay, so that's the first part of the Gemara. So basically, that's the Gemara's defense of the term Niknes. Okay, that's one thing we want to go back to and want to discuss a little more fully, right? And then comes the next part. Go ahead. Okay, so that we've discussed a little bit. Dasar Kulam. Okay, we'll probably speak a little bit more about it because we still have to speak about some of the details of Tosas. But, okay, and the connection to Hekdesh, we'll speak a little more about that later, but not. I don't want to distract with that now. We already talked about why that's so important, right? The idea of an Oser, and even though the formulation of Harat Mekudeshesli is so awkward, seemingly, but again, either for the Shiti Shana Abadram Ravid, you know, it's not awkward, but it's just shocking. Or it's not shocking, but it's awkward. Either way, it doesn't sound like such good choices. But what we tried to explain was that it really is the best choice because it highlights what's unique about Kiddushin. So that part we've done. We still speak a little more about the implications of Hekdesh and this formulation and whether it would apply to other things, but let's leave that for now. Then the Gemara says, V'nis nehacha
ish kona, shim leka v'y l'misni sefa, v'kona s'atz on the didah.
Nefertana namiresha bidida. Yeah. Go ahead.
Nisni ha'ish kone o makne, mishum yikam nisis abal, delad ihu ka makne, mishumaya hu de makne.
Yeah.
So it didn't say ha'ish kone and ish makne, because you can't really say ish makne on nisis abal, because it's not him being makne, it's shumayim that's being makne.
Yeah.
It's min shumayim that she is being makne.
Okay. Go ahead, Ibai Seima.
Ibai Seima. Yitana kona ha'vina fibakarcha, tani shenikneis, to midaita in, shalom midaita lo.
Yeah. Okay, and then we read the rest of the Gemara. So basically, that's the second. So I wanted to zero in on these two points, and I want to elaborate more fully on them. Number one, this notion of Kinyan, and number two, you know, this Shaklavataria about whether or not Kiddushin could be Bal Korcha or not. So again, we're kind of have to do these things simultaneously because they're connected. Obviously, the more we think that Kiddushin is a real Kinyan, or typical Kenyan, we'll say, the more peculiar it is that the Gemara would think that it's Bal Korcha, or seemingly so. Anyway, so it's a very interesting kind of state of events that, you know, we start off justifying the language of Kenyan, and, you know, therefore we're, you know, kind of regularizing or normalizing, you know, this particular institution of marriage as a Kenyan. And then, like, you know, practically Tolka de Dibor, you know, we're turning around and suggesting, you know, that a major breach, or at least what we instinctively think or associate as a breach of Kinyanim, namely the possibility of Bal Korcha, would apply to Isha. So what this kind of raises is, you know, brings us back to the first point, or something has to give here. Either this Havamina isn't what we thought it was. In other words, the Gemara seems to be thinking that you could be Mekadesh Anisha Bal Karcha, but maybe that really isn't the case at all, in which case maybe the implications of the Gemara are in the opposite direction, right? Maybe the Gemara thought that the level of Das required, right, outstrips regular Kinyanim, and they don't really mean Bal Karcha here, they mean something that is acceptable in typical Kinyanim. Again, we'll document this in just a second. If not, if the Gemara really, really, really thought that we're dealing with a, you know, with a possibility that you could be Mekadesh Anisa Bal Karcha, so then we're left with two things to ponder. One is just like, how would that actually work, and how could it work? But more importantly, does this cut into the Gemara's previous conclusion that we're dealing here with Kinyan? Either we're going to say that it's not true that Kinyanim and Bal Karcha are tied to the Sasri, generally. Maybe we should be reassessing that broader question. But if we're not going to reassess that, then, you know, what do we really mean when we say that Kiddushin is a Kinyan? Do we mean it in a typical fashion, or are we just kind of, you know, broadening the notion of Kinyan in such a way that, you know, it takes the sting out of it, or at least, you know, maybe that's an important perspective on Kinyanim generally, but it doesn't force us to reassess Kiddushin so much as a Kinyan. Okay, so these are the twin topics, you know, that we're trying to figure out. How much is this how serious are we about Kinyan, and what does that mean about Kinyan, and what does it mean about Kiddushin? And how serious were we about Bal Karcha, and what is the Maskana, and so on. Okay. So let's take each one, but we'll have to build them you know, a little bit as we go on. The question of Kiddushin as a Kinyan in particular is something which we're going to have to you know, build throughout the Perek. But, you know, we can start here and, you know, mention a few things already, and then, you know, as we discuss Bal Karcha, we'll fill in more, and so on. Okay. So the Mishnah has a language of niknes, as we know, and that's the Gemara's first thrust. Again, we still have to pin down some of the Lashonos, but we already asked the question before, right, since the Gemara says that we call it Taisha Niknes because of Kesef, which is only one third of the cases, and maybe even a problematic third, as we already discussed, maybe Divrei Sofrim, maybe Drabanan, according to some. Even if it's Daraisa, it's still one of three. When the Gemara was confronted with a similar problem regarding Kiddushei Bia on the term Derech, the Gemara at least raised the question. The answer is very intriguing there, too, that everything is L'shem Bia, kind of. But the Gemara didn't even have that shock of Ataria when it came to the Kesef question, and the question is why. So that right already, you know, kind of opens us up to asking two things. Number one, is only Kesef Kenyan? Right? That is a view of some Rishonim that we'll just document it later on, but just, you know, we already know. There are basically three views here. There could be three only views, right? One is that the only thing that's really Kinyan is Kesef. Of course, that puts a lot of pressure on Shtar, right? Apparently we're not seeing or perceiving, what do we mean by that? Kiddushei Shtar, maybe what you'd have to say is V'yotzev Haisa, it's derived from Get. Maybe Get isn't really a Kinyan, maybe it's more of a Matir or an Asina, as we'll discuss again. But so maybe the only real one is Kesef, okay? If that's really true, so then, you know, the question of Atu, you know, Achas Mitlasa becomes, you know, even bigger question, and especially if it's, you know, Divrei Sofrim or Drabanan, etc. So then the conclusion we'd have to reach would be that even though it's more rare, it's one of three, and even though it is, you know, maybe even less than that, what the Mishnah really is trying to tell us is that the possibility of being the Kadesh Al Yedei Kinyan, right, is a critical idea in Ishus and in Kiddushin itself. Yeah.
I think the Ramban has that idea that it's even like closer to the other two ideas, but the Ramban thinks that only one. The Mishnah is referring to Kesef.
Yeah, yeah. I think there are some of the Bali Tosas, some other Bali Tosas too, but 100%. The Ramban has that view. I think the Rajba quotes it also. A number of the Chachmei Sfarad quote, 100%, quote that view of Kesef being the only one. Now, again, at least according to the Ramban, it's Daraisa. But if it's the only one, and it's, you might say, well, maybe we can't prove that it's the only one for the people who think it's Drabanan. That's true. I can't prove those two things together. But if they do ever go together, then the takeaway from all that is that the possibility, even on a Drabanan level, if that's the case, or a Divrei Sofrim level, the fact that you can have Kinyan B'Kesef, right, is a critical statement about Ishus itself. Now, according to the other views, again, so that's important for that. It's also important for, as I say, Shtar will then be something along the lines of the opposite of Get, and it'll be, not a typical Kenyan, we'll say. Interesting, that might provide a little of an answer, to the question that the not for the Rambam, because he doesn't give this answer, but the Chachmei Lonil, as I mentioned, asked the Rambam, like, how come you think that Kesef is B'divrei Sofrim, presumably because it's derived from a drasha, and you don't think the same by Shtar? Then the Rambam gave a very fascinating answer, which I still have to explain. But this is a question to ask, Rabosav Shorashi, too. So is it possible that they think that the part of the reason that Kesef, is Drabanan, according to them, or Medivrayim, is because it's the method of Kenyan. And maybe Shtar, which is the other side or the parallel of Get, Vyotza V'Haisa, that's just a different category. That's just it's a matir in the Ishus, or a chalos ishus, but it isn't typically, again, it results in a chalos kinyan, but it isn't bederech kinyan. Okay. Of course, if you take the view that kesef and shtar are both, typically most of us would have been drawn to the view, not that kesef alone is kinyan, but kesef and shtar are kinyanim. And, but maybe bia is not. Okay, that makes sense, especially if we think bia is an ishus kind of an oriented halacha. We don't find kinyan bia anywhere else. There are some achronim who discuss whether bia is a kinyan, kind of like along the lines of chazaka. It's chazaka in the sense of initiating a certain basic relationship, each according to what that category is. So there are Achronu make that suggestion. What's interesting a little bit is that the Yerushalmi, Avram, you look like you're nodding.
I think the Yerushalmi asks about.
Yeah, the Yerushalmi wants to know. The Yerushalmi, right in the beginning of Kiddushin, says, why only Kesef, Shtar, and Bia? Why not also Kinyan Chazaka? Right? What's the answer, Yerushalmi? He's Mimaid. He just thinks that, that it's that it doesn't work. So that's very fascinating. Obviously, the Yerushalmi didn't think that Bia and Chazaka are Hainu Hach, or that this is the Chazaka of Ishus. The Yerushalmi thought that this was a separate point. But the notion that Kiddushei Bia, right, is not, is fascinating. But then the question is, so, why does the Gemara emphasize Kesef, and not Kesef and Shtar, which would have obviated the problem of the two-thirds. So some of the Rishonim do discuss that, and they say, what do they say, Avram?
Yeah, why?
If it's true that the exception is Bia, so then, why do we emphasize Kesef and not Kesef and Shtar? Or let me say it according to the third Shita also, which is that in Achanami, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia, all of them are Kinyanim, right? In fact, the Sefer Batim, as we already read, calls it Kinyan Gomor. Although he might be referring to the Chalos Kinyan more than the Maisa Kinyan, but it gets very fascinating that there's a debate, whether to cut it off at Kesef and Shtar Bia. We understand all three Shitas. But if it's all three, so how come the Gemara is emphasizing Kesef? So we sort of discuss that both if you think it's Kesef and Shtar, or if you think it's Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. What do they say about that? Anybody? Yeah?
Didn't like the Rigveda say it's so obvious that Shtar is a Kenyan? Meaning that we, that the only time we have Shtar is in forms of Kenyan.
And therefore, but I'm saying, so why the Gemara here says, why is the Gemara emphasizing Kesef?
Because that's only that one we didn't know beforehand.
Oh, it's to be Modia, you mean that
yeah,
it's that it's Kesef?
Okay,
could be. That's one way, and that doesn't really help us anymore, any, right? But that's you do correct. Some people do say that, but what does help us a little, maybe a little bit, sure. That might be the explanation. How do they say it? Do they say it that way?
No.
Yeah, that's what I want to say. Okay, but yeah.
The Tosaf has this line.
Yeah. So there are two ways that they say it. One is that meaning. The way the Tosaf says is that the chiddush of the what we want to emphasize here is not that Kesef in general is a Kenyan, that we know, but
this type of Kesef is also
that Kesef in regard to Ishus is called a Kenyan, and that's what's and that's that Shtar would be called a Kenyan or the Bia would be called a Kenyan would be one thing, but that Kesef would be a Kenyan in Ishus, that's not so obvious. That's one formulation. Another, what's that?
The Meiri also
says
that.
Yeah, okay, that's Tosa already. Okay. What's the other other one? That it's Mefurish Bakra. In other words, that we, even if it's true, do you have that line? A bunch of Rishonim say that also. I think come to the Chachmei Sfarad. That even though all three are Kinyanim, right? It's Kiddushei Bia and Kiddushei Shtar are Kinyanim, but the one that is Mefurish Bakra as a Kinyan, based on the kicha kicha, anybody have that? No.
Right.
Yeah, is kiddushei kesef.
Right.
So what is the point of either Tosis's comment or this comment, right? That you know this is more mefurish bakra. So I think it's exactly what Jua, what you were saying. That what? Kesef is an import, right, from Kosher Mishpat. And I think that's exactly what Tosas means. So the fact that that works and is considered a Kenyan and Ishus, that is what's spectacular here. And that's why it's the one, you know, it being the one that's Mefurish Bakra. In other words, in a way, what Kesef does, and this is what we have been suggesting basically, is, you know, at first glance, Kesef is counterintuitive. Kesef as a Kenyan is and Ishus is counterintuitive because it seems to, you know, put too much materialistic, you know, emphasis or to regularize or normalize the Kenyan of Ishus too much, right? It seems to trivialize it. It takes it, you know, from Evan Ezer and makes it into Chosha Mishpat. And even if you say that in the end of the day, the Bia and the Shtar are also Kinyanim, and especially if you say that they're not, so, you know, it's still very striking that you have Kesef serving this function. But if the point really is that Dafka, we want to introduce, right, some of the, you know, safeguards from Chosha Mishpat, it's not to downgrade it, but on the contrary, to show that it's a wider type of kinyan. It isn't just, oh, this is a kinyan Ishus. This is a kinyan that has roots in the world of kinyanim broadly. Right, so then it's very understandable, you know, why we are doing this. So all three shitos and the explanations that go along with it are part of this particular story. In a way, right, the answer that some Rishonim are going to be giving then is parallel to what the Gemara says about Bia, right, in a way. Right, what is the answer? The Gemara asks the question, you know, atu tlasa, chad atu tlasa when it comes to bia derech. And again, Alex, what's the answer the Gemara gives? On base on base? The part we didn't read just now, but. Tzorich bianinu. So in a way, again, that could be, I don't mean it's exactly the same. That could be either period, you know, if you're a period of Arivia person, if you think the whole mitzvah of Kiddushin is period of Arivia, like the Rosh, you could say it that way. If you think that bia means nisuin, right, which is like the Netziv and others like to say it, and some of the Rishonim also say it, right? So then, you know, then it means that, like this is all, you know, coming to, you know, to the nisuin. If it's piri verivia as a or heter isha labala as a kiyum in the ishus, you can say it that way. But in the end of the day, the point is that it's one out of three, but it's one that looms larger and that characterizes really the ishus, and that's what we're talking about. And in a sense, we're suggesting the same idea, whether it's, you know, one in three, or the one that's emphasized, even though really all three are kinyanim, in terms of what's different about it. The point is that the kinyan component here is highlighted by kesef, but it isn't just perhaps limited to it, right? Either it's limited to it, but it says something about, you know, the nature of ishus, or if it expands to the others, but it highlights that this isn't just a technical idea, but it's one in which the concept behind kinyan mamon is very important. Okay. So that is, and then of course, when we add to that the Rambam, as we have already said, I'm just repeating, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, where the first words are Sheyikne, and the Rambam, Nuchas Malach, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, regarding Pilegesh B'melech, Sheyikne. So this idea, I think, really emerges, according to the Rambam at least, with great clarity. On the other hand, it's interesting to note that it's hard to know what exactly it means, but you know, Rashi here on the Mishnah, Ha'isha Niknes, so Rashi says, Labala. And some of the Achronim see this as kind of a reflection of some, you know, some tension or some limitation. What does Rashi gain by the word Labala? It's hard to know. The Ra'ah, which is, in my opinion, certainly not the Ra'ah, whatever that parish is, Ellie's going to find out for us, right? He's going to do like a forensic analysis, or he's going to see what the people say. It's definitely not the Ra'ah. I mean, it can't be the Ra'ah. It just doesn't read like a Ra'ah at all. What?
Even thinks he's an early Achronim.
Say again?
They think he's like an early Achronim.
Yeah, you know, it's clearly one of the Achronim. It's clearly one of the... it's from the Maria Buav school. What? No, but in the Shitas Kamai, they're presenting him as the Ra'ah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying that you're agreeing. So whoever it is, it's not the Ra'ah. We all have spent time with the Ra'ah, Baruch Hashem, and we look forward to spending more time with him. None of these read like a Ra'ah. They read like a like a 15th century. They read like a Maria Buav type, you know. Anybody know what that means? Yeah. No? No Bar Metzia? That's Bar Metzia? Shittim Kubetzes Ksuvas? If you spend some Shittim Kubetzes time, so, you know, like Mari Katz or Mari Abuav or anonymous Shittim Kubetzes material, it's that group. It's that, like, 15th century Pilpul period. You know, a sweet spot in the Pilpul history. But anyways, the Ra'ah here, Al-Atar, has a whole Pilpul about why Rashi says the words Ha'isha Niknes Libala, right? And he has a suggestion that really there was a, you know, another girsa out there. This is just interesting to note anyway, that went, I didn't give you to look at, so it's not. Ha'isha Niknes, no, it says Ha'isha Niknes B'Gimel Drachim, and it doesn't say B'Kones Atzma B'Shtei Drachim. And the Gimel Drachim are the accumulation of all the Kinyanim in the Mishnah. So the three are, it's interesting anyway, Ha'isha Niknes B'Gimel Drachim is one. Ha'isha Niknes, you know, Kesashtar Bia is one, right? And it homogenizes them a little bit. It takes away from the fact that these are three motifs, if you say it this way. The second one is Kones Atzma Beget, and the third one is Kones Atzma B'Misa Sabal. So Rashi wanted to tell you that girsa is wrong, so he said Ha'isha Niknes Liba. No, the right girsa is all the Gimel Drachim are just on the Kedushin part as opposed to the other the Kones Atzma part. That's what this Perush of, in, you know, called Perush HaRa'ah says for Rashi. Okay, but there are some Achronim, that, as I recall, who, you know, who also make this Diyuk, right, Haishan. It is an interesting, you know, it's hard to know what to say about it, but like, what did Rashi benefit from saying Haisha Niknes Lebala? So some of them, I think, want to suggest that this is a reflection of some discomfort with the term Kinyan here, right, capturing Ishus, or with some notion that she's the Cheftza, you know, in this relationship. I mean, that in a way, this is, you know, there's a dual question. How accurate is the word Kinyan? Not, there is a chalos kinyan for sure, but you know, in terms of the emphasis of it, and what does it mean, really? Is the isha the makna, or is she the cheftza hanikna, or is she both? You know, and if so, in what you know, what degree of each? So maybe Rashi is addressing that question, possibly. Who does address this question more explicitly? I did ask you to look at. Yeah. The Meiri, in the beginning of the Masechta, and he starts off well, and then he kind of, you know, takes a different turn than you would have expected, but it's actually all very consistent. Right? What do I mean? Right in the beginning, right, the, Avraham, what does he do? Ha'isha Niknes. Right, he quotes a Mishnah, and then he says, Klomar, right? Klomar is, as we've discussed in the past, you know, that's an IE, that's a, you know, people only say Klomar when they're troubled, right? So Klomar means, like, you know, in other words, why do I say in other words, right? So something bothers me. So Meiri says, yeah, you have it?
Yeah.
Klomar, Isha Niknes, yeah. Limikadesh, which is kind of what Rashi said, which gives a little fuel to the idea that Rashi was trying to say something like this. Go ahead. Yeah, so it sounds like the Meiri is trying to qualify this and limit it. Meaning, don't get carried away with the language of Kinyan and think that she... is the Cheftza, or that she's given away so much in the Erusin, because it's really only regarding Shalehi Acher Yachal Uzakos Ba, Vishen and Teres L'Shir Modem Od B'chayiv Ala B'geh. Now, that's what you would have thought would be the motivation, except that when you continue reading a little bit, then he expands on it, and then you see that what bothered him was not per se applying the notion of Kinyan, right, in an expansive way to the Erusin, like for some, you know, conceptual reason, but Avram, unless I'm wrong, begimel drachim, right? Lo tzolomar ba'echad begimel drachim kesef sharbia ben kadarka ben shelo kadarka, and then he adds umikol makom eina niknes lo bekach adayin kinyan gamur shakidushin erusin hemosin velo nisuin ve'eina kinyan gamur legamri lishtabid lo bezayin malachos lezakos b'maisi ader yurushasa umitziyasa. I'm not sure if this piece in the Meiri is going back to the first piece, to the piece a couple lines earlier, or this is just a separate statement that he's making. Assuming that it's a continuation, so what bothered him was not the use of the word kinyan in Ishus per se, such that he's qualifying it. What bothered him is that we're only talking about Erisin, so the scope of the kinyan is really limited, meaning it's really, really limited. It's only le'inyan, right, that no other kiddushin will be chal, no competing kiddushin will be chal, and that you need a get. But le'inyan, the other kinyanim between a husband and, or that he has in her or over her, right, that always has to wait for nisuin. Now, the factually, what the Meiri says is 100% true, except that conceptually it's really kind of interesting. Because what he ends up thinking is that there's a kinyan miktsas or tilas kinyan in the kiddushin and a kinyan gamor in the nesuin.
Gomer says that.
Well, Gomer. Use the language of Gomer.
Well, it says that by lashon of it says
by Lashon of Kiddushin as opposed by Eved Lo Shari Bakinyan.
Right. So factually, this is the case. But what I'm saying is that true? One of the things we're going to be discussing is this true conceptually? Meaning, the fact that there are certain things that come about as a result of Nisuin, right, is absolutely clear. Although there's a debate about some of the things, right? We'll see. About Truma, there's a debate. About, you know, Sherksus Viona. You know, mostly we think that's connected to Nisuin, but there's a little bit of a debate. Certainly Yerusha, Tuma, Hafaris, Nadarim depends on Nisuin. Right? We'll get to that. But the question is, conceptually, is that really, really what's going on or not? We've already had a touch of it, a taste of this. So in a way, the Meiri here is very comfortable with these facts and with the with this direction. Why? Because the Meiri, if you remember, reformulated, right, the Rambam's Perek Aleph, Halakha Aleph, and Beis, to turn it into kind of, you know, the Rabbi Avraham and a Rambam reading, which is that Kiddushin is Tchilas Nisuin, the Ikar is Nisuin, and as such, you know, that here he's emphasizing, and when you say Ha'isha Niknes, we only mean, you know, the small, the Tafel part of the Kenyan, the Ikar part of the Kenyan comes later at the time of Nisuin. So characterizing Nisuin as a Kenyan for him, right, isn't just a description about the result of the kinyanim, the chalos kinyan, we'll call it, or the scope of the chalos ha-kinyanim, but even, you know, that's where the main action really is, and that's l'shitaso and ksuvas and here, and so on and so forth. We had also the beginning of the second parak, right, his view of bo yosu b'shlucho and you know, and so on and so forth. However, what's fascinating about it is if you take what I think is the Rambam's view, and which will further demonstrate is the Rambam's view, which is that the Kiddushin is the Kenyan part. We've already partially discussed it. The word Kenyan, right, does not appear in Perek, starting from Perek Yud Hachosishus in connection to Nisuin. Now again, the Rambam doesn't deny that certain things are only triggered by the Nisuin, right? But that may be just a result of the fact that there's no longer any impediments or obstacles, or to put it the way the Ritva puts it, right, the you know, in some things, the, you know, the Nisuin, you know, allows the Kiddushin to be fully matir and to be fully konen. So you wouldn't really be bothered, right, by the language Aisha Niknes, that you have to say, oh, but you should know it's only mikzah. Again, unless you're writing it on a practical level, but, you know, it's And you might even say that the Nisuin is not a Kenyan at all. It's just the Gemar that removes the obstacles to allow the Kiddushin to be fully effective in all realms. Or whatever else is occasioned by the Nisuin, if we don't simply see it as the removal of an obstacle, then it's a result of the Shem, Sher Basar, or Sher Ozuishto, in other words, etc. We'll explain as we go further. But the Meiri is interesting for two reasons, basically, to sum up. One is the fact that he is tentative about the language of Kenyan here. And again, if you just took it away from the second part, you might have said, well, because he's uncomfortable with Kiddushin as a Kenyan. I just don't think that's true. I think what he really is uncomfortable with is the Arison part being called a Kenyan, when the Nisuin part, you know, really isn't usually called that in the normal way. And again, you know, the first Mishnah in Ksuvas doesn't call it a Kenyan. There are Kenyanim results, so the Meiri, in that sense, is Lishitasa. But if you took the, you could interpret the Mishnah, you know, according to the first lines of the Meiri, and you know, not have any problem whatsoever with the second part. So that is an interesting, again, contrast to the Rambam, who's so excited about the Kenyan in terms of the Ishus part of it. What's also interesting in that regard, then, is the Meiri's discussion of Beis Amid Beis, right? Which is, he doesn't really, number one, he's very critical of the Mefarshim, the Rishonim, some of the Balei Tosis, who he thinks are medayik too much in the language of the Mishnah and the language of the Gemara. He has some, like, you know, humorous, good humorous lines. This is on page 8. What I was reading till now was what? Page 2?
I think it's on
Amidala's
in our version of Mishnah.
What do you mean in our version?
It's found in
Amidala's. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Anyway, so this is on page 8, when I have. Harbe dikduke nemra b'shmua zol mishasenu imasha nemra b'lashon kinyan. Right? V'lo nemra b'lashon kidushin. Aldera shomra perik sheni ish makadesh. And so on. V'chein harbe dikdukim shen toeles b'hazkarasam. V'yesh bilbul perushim v'girsos v'kushios. Elish advarim pshutimim v'nochim l'farshim al nakel. Elish of mesha amar bav v'kesef minalan. Right? Hizaher milafaresh. Minalon de isha miskadeshes bo. This is very interesting. Shazula kame kabayla. There's another Gemara later on where the Gemara says kesef minalon, right? And the Gemara says yatzochina main kasef. We'll talk about the tulimudim, etc. So the Meiri says no. When this Gemara introduces kesef and kicha kicha, the Gemara is really not trying to explain how do you know kidushe kesef. Ela perusho minalon de ikri. Kinyan, the Afbarov Svarim Garsum came ahead. Apparently, there were two Girsos in the Gemara, right? Which one was, how do you know Kesef is Kona? And the other is, how do you know that, you know, Kidushe Kesef, Ikri Kinyan? So, again, that's just very interesting, especially since he was hypersensitive earlier about Haisha Niknes limiting it, right? Maybe because of the Aresin versus the Nesuin, but either way, sensitive. So now he's like, you know, the Gemara wants to know how do you know it's called a kinyan. Elish apazui zaher shelo lefarish minalon de kesef stam ikri kinyan shim ken hayol lahavia misadus kesef yiknu velo yitzruch ligzei reshava. This is already shades of Tosas, right? We know that kesef is a kinyan, right? But what we weren't sure is, you know, kesef in the context of kiddushin, that's totally a different kind of idea. Elakach perusho the kesef de isha. Miha minalan de ikri kinyan. Share mikomokom eina dome lishar knios. Good line, right? Right? Vehevia mikicha kicha. Yeah. Then he goes on. Harbim first from medaktim lo torech, lo deine bediktukam and iskarim bishmua, eler abosei thou to the hay. V'dorshim chaseres v'yaseres. This is the funny part. Dorshim chaseres v'yaseres kilu nichtivo aluchos v'sinai. Right? This is the same, you know, humor as, you know, the Meiri's, you know, piece in Magen Avos that when we learned Ksuvos we did, where he talked about, chabilos in funny ways. But, yeah. V'eini roa to'eles b'schiros advar meilu yifarshim ha'mevin al tzad she'yirtza. And so on. So you might think that it's Bal Karcha. So that we need So we'll get back to that part in a minute. But the basic idea is in addition to what we already said, so the Meiri's discussion that that's exactly what the Girsa and the Gemara is coming to teach us. Once again, the assertion that this is not similar to regular Kinyan Kesef. And if so, then, you know, what? How does it work here, and so on. So this idea of, Kiddushin being a Kinyan, but not necessarily being a typical Kinyan, is important for the bigger question that we've already discussed, which is the Oser part, the Kinyan part, etc. But it, as they say, also raises the question, you know, to what extent, you know, what is a Kinyan if it applies to Ishas? So here you can take, I think, one of two approaches. One is there are Lishonos and Rishonim which really do emphasize the typical Kinyan aspects. Right? Even the Meiri, Meiri doesn't really, because really what he's saying, it's only Kinyan Lagabe, a little bit, exclusivity and the need for a get. In other words, you need to, it's a Kinyan Lagabe that she needs to be kones atzma, in that sense she is maknes atzma and he's kone her, but that's a very limited idea. And legabe the exclusiveness, the inability of anybody else to be Conan. Right? But aside from that, again, what does he think about what happens in the Suin? You know, is there does it ever reach the point that she is also, you know, Meshuba to him, in a kind of a Heftza way? But it doesn't sound that way in the Meiri. And for many Rishonim, clearly this is a very foreign idea. We'll see some of the Lishonos later on, especially in the Sugya Bekadesh Bemilva. We'll see opposite Lishonos in the Chachmei Svarad, regarding this issue. The Rajba, in particular, understands that this is a very different kind of a kinyan, and so on. So if we take the view that this is a different kind of a kinyan, so we could just say that, the legabe, the overlap, it's a kinyan. But probably a better thing to say is that, or in addition to say, is that the notion of kinyan itself needs to be reassessed, not only in light of kinyan kiddushin, but certain other kinyanim as well. Typically, we associate the notion of kinyan with ownership and with acquisition and control and authority. Again, even then we acknowledge that there are different types of kinyanim, but typically, like the word association, when we say kinyan, is a cheftza, which is nikne, and which is controlled. And that certainly is, I'm making up the numbers, 90%, 95% of kinyanim, and that's why it's such a strong association. However, we also know that there are kinyanim that don't seem to fit that bill, and that the language of kinyan in Tanakh doesn't refer to ownership and acquisition. When we speak of the Rabbeinu Shalom as a Koneh Shamayim Ba'aretz, right, where he does own the world, HaShamayim, LaShem Ha'aretz and Veloa, and certainly HaShamayim, Shamayim LaShem, but the words Koneh Shamayim Ba'aretz refers to Osei Shamayim Ba'aretz. And we have Kinyanim. We sometimes use Kinyanim to express Ischaibus. Again, we'll be talking about Kinyan Sudar, probably what once we come back after the break, but pretty soon after that. So we'll talk there about that idea. But I think last year we talked about, those of you who were here, when we talked about the sugya of Pshara, in Sanhedrin, in the first parak, and Pshara Tzricha Kinyan. So we talked about the fact that, there's something called Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. The Gemara says in the beginning of Bava Basra, that if you want to commit yourself in a partnership to like directions, like which part do you get? Berucho, so that's called Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. There's a debate in the Rishonim, what exactly are the limits and the parameters of Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. But on the one hand, the notion that certain things are Kinyan Dvarim Bialma and Kinyan doesn't work highlights that we're dealing with something a little more concrete, something that, has a certain legal entity. On the other hand, some of the cases that are not Kinyan Dvarim Bialma are things that where there is no Cheftza and where we're not dealing with a typical Kinyan. More that we're dealing with a kind of a commitment or a perspective. Again, we'll see it again. But the Rambam in Perek Hei, Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph, I believe, or Yud Aleph in the base, I don't remember, talks about people who used to make Kinyan Sudars when they didn't need to. Like if you want the rabbi to sell your chametz for you, you can make him a shliach, and a shliach typically doesn't require a Kinyan. If you want to sell the chametz to the rabbi, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but then you need a Kinyan. But if you want to deputize him, right, to sell your chametz, you don't really need a Kinyan Sudar for that. But he needs to make a kinyan with a non-Jew, just to make that clear. So the Rambam speaks about two different phenomena. One is where people make kinyanim where it's not necessary. The other one is where they make kinyanim which don't work. In other words, kinyan dvarim bialma, right, where you need a kinyan but it doesn't work. and the other kinyan, which, you know, is just unnecessary. In a way, these are two sides of the same coin if you take a certain view on kinyanim. In other words, if kinyanim is not about ownership and control, or are always relating to a cheftza, but rather it's about a legal relationship, right, a certain interaction, so then you can still appreciate that there's something called kinyan dvarim bialmo, which doesn't work, needs something a little more concrete, not just a pledge of some sort, but certain commitments or the establishment of legal relationships can take place even when it has nothing to do with ownership or control. And kone shamayim ba'aretz, of course, relates to brias shamayim ba'aretz. And, you know, we find, for example, that asiya and kinyan, or bria and kinyan, are sometimes interchangeable. Of course, that pasuk is the source of it. But, you know, everybody knows there's a whole discussion about a yorid the tos sadash al chaveiro shelo bershus. Right, if you somebody goes into your field and he cultivates your field, so the question is how much do you have to pay him, and you have to weigh the relationship between, you know, the schirus, let's say, the going rate, and the benefit of what he did for you, and it's a whole topic. You know, when do you apply one? When do you apply the other? Etc. The rules should really have been, according to, where the sugya ends up, is that really, you know, if I, you know, plant in your field and or I improve your field, then I should really be able to, you know, I should be able to benefit the amount that I benefited you. Call it a shtarshi or whatever you want to call it. But the rule is that the owner of the field gets to say, aroi ashbach. That, you know, it's my field, and, you know, it's very nice that you enhanced it, but it's still mine. Why am I telling you that? So the point is that normally when somebody creates something, it's his, or at least he has kinyanim on it. He doesn't own it, right, but he has a certain legal relationship to it. It's sometimes overridden, right, in the case of somebody being yored the tos sadash al chaveiro, by somebody else's bailus, aroi ashbach. So that's a famous, Reb Chaim has a very famous piece in Hilchos Shkenim, where he tries to explain the view of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that if you're zoreya b'sadash al hefker, whoever plants in the sadash al hefker is chayv trumas ma'isras. So the question is, how can that be? That's Yerushalmi. After all, he doesn't own the field. He's not the Bala Sadet. The Zeroyim don't belong to him out of ownership. Right? But here's a great example where you have what we call the Kinyan of Maisei Adayim, right? Without the overriding factor of Aroi Ashbach, because it's a Sadash al Hefker. So L'inyan Chiv Trumas Maisers, you're the Bailim. It's yours. The Zeroyim are yours. Yeah.
Didn't the Zeroyim or Ashbach that you alone didn't cause the profit, my field also contributed?
Partly, but it's more than that. It's just that my bailus overrides your bailus. Because then I should, it's not a reason for me to relegate your contribution only to the going rate. Right, or the expenses. I'm saying I'm only going to give you your expenses. I'm not going to give you the value of what you enhanced because of a Roy Ashbach. Right, so you basically, okay, we can't deny you the expenses, but if assuming that's less, obviously you get the less of the two. But the if the whole point was, well, you didn't do it alone, right, then doesn't discount that you did something, so it's probably something in between those two things. But it seems like the point is that you didn't ask permission. I'm the real owner. Or I'll give you another example, which is very fascinating. And that is the, we talked about last year also, those were here, the question of Kinyane Genevo Gazela, right? And we talked about it a little bit this year also, as I recall. The Nigzal is the owner of an object, right? And we talked about it because we talked a little bit about, you know, Bal Korcha Kinyanim, right? And the Ganav for the Gazlan, you know, takes his object, Bederech Kinyan. In other words, if a Ganav Gazlan doesn't make a Kinyan, then he doesn't have certain benefits. He doesn't have certain chiyuvim either, by the way. But the whole notion, of course, of a kinyane geneva or kinyane gazela is a very extraordinary idea. Obviously, it's an illegal act. That's why it's discussed in the sugya in Temura, right? In the famous debate in Temura between Abai and Rava about, you know, komando marachmanas lo savidi avid mahani or lo mahani. So in that sugya, the you know, Gemara wants to bring a raya from the fact that shinui is kona for a gazlan, that yavid komado marachmanu lo savid yavid mahani. So it's an illegal kinyan. It's an illegal act, and it creates a kinyan. And the question is, how could that be? I mean, the nigzal remains the real owner. And yet the gazlan has certain rights. He doesn't have to pay tashmishim. Again, shinui kona might be a result of that. Pachas nevela. There are all sorts of consequences that derive from that. But again, there's no rotzon, obviously, because you stole it against the guy's will. But more than that is, how do you create a kinyan? The answer is you have a legal relationship by taking it away from the other fellow, right? That constitutes a legal relationship that you have, even though it's not yours. But that legal relationship still might interfere with him. Bikitsur, there seems to be a lot of evidence that, you know, things like Baisi Adayim, other things, certain pragmatic things, having a certain relationship, legal relationship, with somebody or something is a kinyan, even if it isn't ownership, even if it isn't control, even if there's no chefta, even if it just means you have certain zechuyos, or certain, as I say, connection with the other party. And the truth is that, you know, kicha kicha has learned out me stay Ephron. You know, if we're trying to figure out what is the nature of kinyan in the context of kiddushin, right? So we can't completely ignore soda either. It's crude to say that the kinyan of ishus is exactly like the kinyan of soda, or that, you know, an ishus is like a soda to her baal. Although again, to be honest, we do find such lishonos here and there in the rishonim, right? Again, those who learned ksuvis, whenever they learned it, will recall that. The Gemara talks about you know, a situation where the day of the Nisuin comes, and, you know, if she is ill or Pirsanida. So the Gemara uses the expression, in some cases, of Nistapcha Sadeu, right? So the Bali Tosis already end up base on base in Ksuvis discuss, you know, what does that mean? So one view that they have is that there are really two days in Tosas. You know, one is, you know, Mazalo Garam. He's the one who was a chiyuv period of Arivia, you know, and he's the one who was a chiyuv maybe to, you know, to get married, or at least at this point. And therefore, Nistap Chasadeh, it's his problem, basically. Nistap Chasadeh doesn't mean Mazalo Goram, which is, you know, what some Rishonim mean. It means he, you know, he's the Isha Alacha here, so it's his problem. Either it's his problem or his mazel, one or the other. Okay. But the other day in Tosas is that Nistapcha Sadeu. So the language Tosas says is, he Sade Shal Baal, Ve'ein, who Sade Shalah, or something like that. Anybody have a language? What's that? Ka'avda, and then Tosar Rosh has that other Lashon, and then Rashi and Erchin also has such a Lashon. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe, where he thinks that the Rashi in Erechin is not is like a Talmud Toa or something, because he says he can't believe that that's, you know, Rashi's language. Here we have the Sefer HaChinuch that we already discussed, But Sefer Achino doesn't exactly say that. Right? The Sefer Achino says, I'm just looking for it here because I don't know. Earlier, right? Was anybody have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, here it is. I have it. Yeah, you have it. Mishrosha mitzvah. The first it's Zvanu Hatar Lasas Maisa Biisha Yora Inyan Zivugam Terem Yishka Vima. That's one we already discussed. That works in very beautifully with the chinuch and the Rambam Shita about mitzvahs kiddushin. Then he says, "The gam nomar shehu kidei shetite naliba laolam shehi knuya laoso haish velo tizne tachta velo timrod bo." But it's actually very meduyak, even though the number one, right, this kinyan expresses itself in an Iser Mered. And then it says, V'titein lo yakar v'hod li'olam ke'eved la'donav. So do you want to emphasize the ke'eved la'donav? Or does it mean, titein lo yakar v'hod ke'eved la'donav? Right? I think it's probably the second more than the first. But there are those who have read the Sefer Chinuch as, like the Tosa Rush in Ksuvis. The point I'm trying to make is that, and we'll get to this again on Vav Mud Beis, there are Rishonim who, because of the language of Kinyan, undoubtedly, you know, really see the Ishus, you know, relationship as her being, you know, both the Makna and to some extent a Cheftza, which is Nikna. Again, even then one shouldn't exaggerate it beyond beyond its meaning. It means Legabe, certain things, she comes under her husband's sovereignty, if you will. She's, you know, nichnas tok reshuso, and then basha konsa isha konabalas is viewed that way. Maisedaim, things of that sort. There definitely is a group. I mentioned some of them just now of rishonim who have those zushonos, and if you hold that way, then it becomes easier to understand the notion of Kenyan. But for the rishonim who clearly think that is not the case, and they're certainly equal, if not more, that are not going in that direction. So she's the makne, not the nikna. But then it becomes important to highlight what I think is true even outside of Ishus, and that is that kinyan really means a legal relationship. Just so happens that 90 to 95% of all legal relationships that we know of include a nikne and are about ownership. But of course there are some which are not about ownership, and where there is no nikna, as I've tried to highlight before. And there, all you have is the ikar, which is the legal relationship, and probably that's the paradigm of Isha. Now, the truth is that Sadeh, on the one hand, just kicha kicha mistafrin, obviously, just you learn A from B, especially linguistically, doesn't mean that it's identical in all respects, that we certainly understand. But it should also be noted that, you know, we don't learn kin and isha from mamon, right, of metaltalin, or to put it a different way, mos konem. We learn it out from kesef of karka, and it just also should be noted that of all things that are nikna in the world of Chosha Mishpat, actually karka is the most unconventional, because karka li'olam amades, typically, and you can't pick it up and put it in your pocket. The karka is there long after you will. In some respects, kinyan over karka, according to some Rishonim, this seems to be a debate, is also not about absolute, you know, ownership. It's about, again, having legal rights in the karka which allow you to do certain things. But number one, there may be limits. Certainly in karka and Eretz Yisrael, there are limits. There's a recognition that the karka has its own stature and that there are things that you can't do. Part of the whole discussion of yesh kinyanakum, you know, lahavkiya mikdusha sa'aretz, sugin gittin daf mem zayin, is about, you know, as lachbar boro shichun umaros, or is it, you know, lahafkia mikdushas, you know, haaretz? What does kili haaretz li kedushas haaretz mean? But the evidence seems to be that, at least according to some, that karka is very different than metalkalin. And the fact that you can't pick it up and, you know, put it in your pocket or move it around, all of that highlights that the concept of kinyan is more about, again, the legal relationship that you have with the karka rather than the absolute ownership of the karka. Again, of course, to some extent it is a cheftza, but so it's also very fascinating, and I'll, I'm not going to go through this right now, but it's relevant to this kicha kicha misnei Ephron mentality too, is how you look at the kinyan in karka. There's a major debate among the Rishonim in the sugya in Hazav, and it's expressed also in Chosha Mishpat, whether or not, anybody know about kesef, karka? Any, whether or not, yeah?
Onoa?
No. Well, Onoa is a very good makor to quote. I wasn't thinking about that at the moment, but it is on my list. I mean, what do you want to say about Onoa? We say Ein Onoa l'karkos, right?
I know that was discussed in Perkazov.
Oh, that's true also. So you're a good detective. It happens to be relevant, too, because we say Ein Onoa l'karkos, right? One of the reasons that Ein Onoa l'karkos might be that you can't put a real... the idea of pricing in karka is different than pricing in metaltalin. So on a purely pragmatic level, because it's a karka li'olam ha'mades and so on and so forth, and, you know, it doesn't get destroyed. But more than that, it just also may be because the kind of kinyan that you have with karka, it doesn't have pricing for the same reason that it doesn't have the absolute status of a cheftza shel kinyan, namely because, you know, it belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it continues to belong to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not something, you know, it's something that's going to outlive you, right? And therefore, the whole notion of pricing it and value is about, you know, your relationship to it rather than its objective relationship at any particular point, you know, on the market. Now, again, there is possibly a double or a half. There is some dinim of Ono, according to some Rishonim, but that's a relevant makar. I just don't want to get too involved in that. But there's a major debate about how you look at kinyan kesef in karka and whether it's tchilas piron, right, or not. In other words, if you have a piece of karka and you give the owner, there's an agreement between you, and you give him a pruta, right, you can be kona that car, you can get this vast, you know, plantation, you know, for a pruta, right? How does that really work? So, again, in Shulchan Aruch, it's a debate between the Taz and the Sma. If you get a chance to look it up. And the Avnei Miluim has a piece about it because he is very sensitive to the comparison to Isha, right? So, you know, just some of the posts can think that really the karka, you know, the kin and kesef of karka is just tchilas piron, and it's like skifas milva. So I may give you a pruta, but I owe you the rest of it. I have enough at kazuze, and really the price on the kinyan is for 1,000, you know, rubles or, you know, euros or dollars or whatever the case may be, right? British pounds, okay. Brexit pounds, whatever. Anyways, so the, right? Or no, it really is with the pruta, and the extra amount that you have to pay is simply din and smichos das, but the pruta is the... So in a way, ironically, right, the perspective that thinks that the kinyan of kesef, the karka, is tchilas piron, well, he assumes that you can, right, notwithstanding what we just said about ona, which is a debate in the Rishonim, right, that assumes you can try to put a price, you know, or you can agree to a price anyway, and then the price is the davar akone. And in that sense, at least in that regard, kark and metalton are not all that different, right? Most konos certainly is not, you know, anything but tchilas piron. But in a way, you know, the the requirements of the Kenyan are more stringent because it's $1,000 or whatever, or 500 or 500,000 or 917 million, you know, or whatever it is. It doesn't really matter in the end of the day, right? It is what it is. So that seems like a chumra. But in another respect, the perspective that says that you're always kona karka bekesef with a pruta, right, and the rest is just smichas das, is really in some respect more ambitious, because what we're really saying is, you know, the price is never the price, and even the price was the price. It's more of a formal, right, symbolic kinyan than it is, you know, a quid pro quo exchange. So when you translate that, even in terms of this factor of kicha kicha mistei Ephron to kiddushei kesef, and we'll have to talk, you know, extensively about what a dinar is for Beis Shammai. I don't mean how much it is. I mean, you know, where did that shear come from? And of course, the Shava Pruta of Beis Hillel, and what that means, you know, both the amount that it is, there the amount is important, you know, the amount from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the amount today, the, you know, all this is very important. Is it Shava Pruta or is it Din Kesef, right? So all of this becomes very relevant, and the Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron part is used by both sides to opposite effect. But it's really partially our topic as well. To what extent do we really think that, you know, okay, in the import from Chosha Mishpat, you know, that shows that imports from Chosha Mishpat can also just be symbolic, because that's all this is? Or no, we're treating it like a real Hefza Shokinya, not just a Gavra Hamakna. Yeah.
The requirement for a pruta by Gisha and a piece of karka can't be that similar, because what the Gemara says is that halifin can't be done for...
Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
yeah, 100%.
It can't be exactly the same way, or else halifin should work by both or neither.
Exactly. So, no, either way, we understand that it's, you know, the Xeris HaKasuv, you know, doesn't equate the two, and it would be crude to think that it does.
Yeah.
The question is, but should it, like, resemble it? If I say something is not equal, you know, but is the resemblance still... You know, significant in some way. And that's kind of what we're taught. But you're 100% right. The part of the story is definitely the sugya of chalipin, and the fact that chalipin is a snayu b'pachasim shapruta, and the two girsos and the Gemara and Daf Gimel, which we're not there yet, but we'll get to. Yeah.
I'm just confused. When you said earlier, why the fact that it's compared to the kesef of karka,
yeah,
is interesting. What else could it have been compared to? There is no
kesef by the top. Well, there's a debate in the Gemara whether Mo is konus d'oraisa or not. But yeah, well, is that so terrible? I was just trying to show that unlike, and we'll talk about this more, kesef karka, there's a good reason to think that it's a formal and symbolic kinyan for all sorts of reasons, right? Mos, konos, even according to the Mandamar, mos, konos, minat Torah, there's good reason to think that it's about the exchange. And in Metaltlan, you can't have exchange. I'll just give you one simple raya if you want, and that is, well, certainly if you think that one is Tchilas Piron and the other is just Pruta, obviously that would highlight it. But as the Rishonim point out, again, in Parakazav, right, that's there too, mos, konos, right? So the Ramban and others point out that, you know, while you have a makar for kesef karka, you don't really have a makar for metaltel, according to the Mandamar d'oraisa. So some of the Chachmei Svarad Beinayim, the Ramban, say, but, you know, you don't need one because it's a svara. Right? The svara is basically quid pro quo. In other words, I'm getting value and I'm giving value. So my buying power of what I'm giving is a legitimate, how come that doesn't work for karka? So you could just say technically, because, you know, karka lila mamades, it doesn't have ona, it's just harder to, it has a, you know, again, metaltlin, even if you have something that could, has a durability that it could last forever, but you could still hide it, and you could still probably destroy it. You know, so its present value on the marketplace is always more relevant than karkas, if you want to be mechalik. Again, you might say, you know, even metaltalin, maybe it'll outlive you or outlive this market, and you can always say about karka that we only you know, in lahekta shel makom avashaita. But it makes a very great deal of sense, just on a purely technical level, to distinguish between karka and metaltalin because of this factor. However, what I'm saying is that we should take it further than that, and that is that for the very same reasons, but notch it up a little more, or ratchet it up a couple of more notches, for that very same reason, the way that we look at kinyan in metaltalin and in karka is just very, very different. So you need exeris akasuv to show you that you can even have a kinyan on karka. But, you know, in metaltalin, you know, it's just misvara because it's quid pro quo. You know, for the same reason that it's easier to price it and that there is onah, you know, so too, it just makes sense that you can totally own it and dominate it. Because you're the owner, you can destroy it too, right? So that's what I'm kind of suggesting. But we'll see. Maybe we'll do it sooner than later. That look it up if you get chat. What is it? Kuf? I think is it Kuf Zayin in the Chol Shem Mishpat?
Kuf Tzadi.
Yeah, where is it?
Yeah, Kuf Tzadi. I have the last one.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Mishnah says,
that's the Sma talking.
Then the Ta says,
Yeah, right, because there's no such thing. You can't put a price on such a thing. The Shita you can't, probably.
I think the Avni Lulim has a shtick where he says, no, yeah.
Where's the Avni Lulim? The number, I just don't remember. The Avni Milim has a piece on that also where he discusses that back and forth, and he has a tshuva also, as if I recall. Both in the main piece is in the Avnu Azra, but I think he also has a tshuva about it. I'll tell you to look it up. But anyway, so this is part of the discussion. So basically there is the girsa, there's a Isha Niknes, there's the one out of the three, and what you make of that, the different shitas about Kesef Shtar and Bia per se, and in terms of the Kinyan aspect of it and the different ways to interpret it, especially Tosas and the Meiri. Then we have the Girsa and the Gemara again in the Meiri discussion, and the limitation, possibly in Rashi, according to some Achronim, if you don't read it like the Ra'ah, and the limitation in the Meiri, although again, he kind of then goes on to apply to Nisuin. Then you have Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron, which is a very interesting question, and which, in discussions of what Kinyan Kesef, you know, Bekarka really means, draws in how, you know, you understand the overlap with Isha. Then you have different Lishonos and Rishonim, you know, where sometimes they focus on the comparison to Eved or Shifcha or speak about Sadeh, you know, things of that sort. That's certain Lishonos I mentioned in the Rishonim. Others clearly don't hold that way. I think the Pashtus, it's not that way. Even the ones who do hold that way, I think they mean it in very limited way, including the Chinuch, I think, means it in a very limited way. In which case, what we're really trying to say, including the connection to Karka, is not so much that there's elements, even small dimensions of ownership, as much as that Kinyan really has a bigger meaning and a more important meaning, and that is the idea of a legal relationship, implying protections, rights, and obligations. That's what it really is, and that's what Maisi Adayim is. If you create something, you have a relationship. You brought it into the world. You're a bore, kone shemayim ba'aretz, or, you know, in the case where, you know, had it not been overridden by a Roy Ashbach or in Sadashal Hafker, then, that is a relationship too. And, you know, if you take an object and you now control it, that's a relationship too. But not because you legally control it, but because you physically control it. That's kind of what Ganeb, that's the Kinyan Shavoy that the Rajba speaks of in Perek HaShaleach in Gittin. So all of this goes to the question also, you know, what is the Dinar of Beis Shammai and the Pruta of Beis Hillel? Frankly, what is the relationship between Shava Kesef and Kesef, which is another topic that we still have to do in the beginning here, is also related to this. How formal is the kinyan here? Or how, you know, how much is it really patterned after all the things? And certainly if you're going to be mechalek between different tchumim and halacha, to understand it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So that only was in chavtes beis.
What is it? Chavtes beis.
Chavtes beis.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe we'll do it for tomorrow. We'll just look at it very quickly since we, we're already mentioning this. So, and again, we'll be seeing throughout the first parak the idea of kesef, kesef shel hanoah, kesef shel kavod. We already had a little bit in the chinuch, his idea about tabas. And, you know, we'll continue to see this idea playing itself out. Okay, I think we've got to stop in a minute. So all of this brings us to the next point, which is Bal Korcha de Isha. So again, so the Gemara really thought, on the one hand, the Gemara thinks that there's Kenyan. So is that a stira to the next line of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, well, Havamina, Sokadai Techamina, that it would be Bal Korcha. Ah. So the answer is, you know, yes and no. So the people who think that, you know, this is a typical Kenyan, maybe have to read the Gemara differently. Maybe have to read the Gemara that, you know, the Gemara never really thought that there was an Ishas Bal Korcha, the Isha. The word Bal Korcha here means something which falls within the threshold of Kenyanim in Kol Tara Kula. Right, and that is the way that, who read the Sugya? The Rajba.
Atmos
Yosef.
Yeah.
Okay, could be. The Rajba Udi'ime, you know, who basically read this Gemara as being linked with the Sugya in Bava Basra, Daf Memches. Then the question is, and what's the Maskana of the Gemara? Is this different than regular Kinyanim? And if so, for technical Drabanan reasons or for Doraisa reasons even, both the Isha and the Baal. And the Rajba formulates this very clearly. Again, we'll try to get all this in tomorrow. The Rajba says it very clearly, right? You know, the Rajba asks, how could there be, anybody have a line? How could there be a Havamina that, you know, that there could be a Kinyan Bal Korcha? Right? You have it? Yeah. Meaning, now again, that doesn't have to mean that Kiddushin is a typical Kenyan, but what he's saying is the overlap is certainly enough, or maybe the very concept of Kenyan, whether it's Maisa Kenyan, Chalos Kenyan, is enough that you just can't have Bal Korcha, right? It's just this very strange Habamina, no matter what. So the Rajba goes on to say, again, we'll analyze it more, that in Achanami, there never was such a view in the Gemara. The Gemara never thought such a thing. The Gemara thought was wondering whether or not we're more machmir in Ishus than elsewhere. Ah, but if we're going to be more machmir, on the contrary, that might show the other side, which is that it's not nikne, it's not a makne, it's a legal relationship. That the nature of this legal relationship, of course, outstrips any ownership relationship. Ownership relationships are one thing. You know, relationships are something quite different. Even the other way, which is, no, the Gemara really thought that there's a Kenyan, there's a Kiddushin Bal Korcha. So, again, obviously, in an ironic way, they're not seeing this as a typical Kenyan, right? So, again, is it less than a Kenyan or it's just different than a Kenyan? In other words, to take someone's Chefta, right, you need Das, right? But, you know, this isn't that kind of a Kenyan. So maybe the Metzius of Ishus is something that can be, you know, imposed. Of course, that creates its own difficulties. So this is what I want to do tomorrow, right? We want to just go through the different shitas, the Havamina and the Maskana. What is the relationship between Das and Ratzon required in Kiddushin and Kinyanim? And of course, with a background of Yibum and Get and Nisuin and some of the other Makoros I gave you, we'll try to move quickly tomorrow through these.